The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 29th day of January, 2023. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight, the title of the message tonight is, If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do? And we're going to start tonight in Daniel chapter 12 and in verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. Now, some interesting things here. First of all, here that word run in the Hebrew actually means to race. Many will race to and fro. They'll be racing back and forth. And in the last two centuries, it's an interesting thing because we have gone from horses as the fastest mode of travel. We went from horses to, well, to trains, to cars, to planes, and today we have rocket ships that can travel at unbelievable speeds. And with all of that, now we can travel information. We can pass information to literally at the speed of light. So we're seeing this, but when he says, shut up the words and seal the books, even to the time of the end. And so this gives us a pretty good indication of what days we're living in. And so here, and as far as this goes too, we're going to be taking a look at unsealing the book, seal the book, how that we are actually, right now in these days we're living in, incrementally we're seeing the book being unsealed. Things are being manifested right before our eyes, things that the Bible prophesies. Now, when I end this tonight, at the end of this message, if I get enough time, and I think I should have enough to finish it, we're going to see when, in fact, that is unsealed. Now, it's an interesting thing, too. I was just talking to a prison inmate here Friday, and he's got a possibility, and we had another prison inmate that came up for parole. He's been in prison now for 37 years, and he came up for parole. And he turned the parole down. He turned the parole down. And his reason was, he said, I've got no place to go out there now. Here, I'm at least I know my environment. Now, folks, both of these guys had told me that, you know, and they're both, one is elderly, one is a fellow that's almost 80 years old now. The other one is in his late 60s. But they both said that it's scary out there on the outside nowadays. They've watched on television, they watched Antifa and burn, loot, and murder. They watched them burning down the cities. They watched these people with you know, different, you know, with rainbow-colored hair, with all kinds of metal spikes and things through their face, and listen to the insanity, you know, when they're hearing people talking about, you know, nobody knows what a woman is, and they're hearing this stuff about this transgender, you know, unisex bathrooms. This stuff is, in fact, and watching the things that's happening, you know, across the world, and the technology now with the COVID shot that's, and they realize in there, you know, these guys didn't take the shot. They refused it because they realized how many of the inmates that did take the shot died. They got real sick or died or both. And so these fellas are saying, you know, I'm not sure if I want to get out now, at least where I'm at. Now, can you imagine that? We're at a state in this country where prison inmates that have been in prison for so long that they're not sure if they even want to get out because it's safer in prison than it is out here on the streets. And so when he's talking about knowledge shall be increased, well, you know, if you go back 100 years ago, 100 years ago, knowledge was doubled every 50 years. Today, it's every few hours. Knowledge is information. Now, remember, this is knowledge, this is information. That doesn't necessarily mean it's true. You have a whole lot of information out there that is not exactly verifiable. And so we're looking, and boy, if that's exactly the days that we're living in today. And so I wanted to go now to Psalm 11 and verses 1 through 7. And if I go to Psalm 11, verses 1 through 7, we read, "Now, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow and make ready their arrow upon the setting, upon the string, that they may privately shoot out the upright in heart. Now if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven, and his eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares and brimstone and horrible tempest, and shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, but his countenance doth behold the upright." Now, here, what are the foundations? Well, if you go back and you find out that before the Lord Jesus Christ was the Savior, he was the Creator. And the foundation starts back with the creation, the teaching of creation. And here today, that's under attack by the completely false theory of evolution. Evolution is absolute lunacy, folks. It's mathematically impossible. No one has ever seen a creation that didn't have a creator. It can't happen. And so that false teaching has replaced in the public school and education system the teaching of creation. And then marriage and the family. That foundation of marriage and the family. The very first divine institution that God gave us was that of marriage and the family. And over in Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, we read that he hateth putting away. He hateth putting away. And so some of the newer age versions actually have that the God hates divorce, and that's what he's really saying. God hates the putting away. He hates divorce. God hates divorce. And here today, people don't take the word of God seriously. They don't take their wedding vows seriously anymore. Marriage is supposed to be about God first, then each other. If there are children, they come before the parents. Once the parents have children, they are to put their children before themselves, their well-being. So many times I've heard people say, well, we're not happy in our marriage anymore. We're not happy. Now, how does that coincide with until death do us part, okay? Until death do us part. We're not happy is not the same as until death do us part. And I've, over the years, I've counseled many, many couples, and it's pretty much always the same. The wife always says, he doesn't love me. He doesn't love me. And the husband always says, she doesn't respect me. She's disobedient. She doesn't respect me. She doesn't listen. And why is that? Well, I remember here, men kind of have a tendency to look at a wife as property, as in a sense, as like, that's my wife, so it's kind of an ownership. And, you know, men have a tendency to somehow, when you get a brand new car, boy, you're going to see how often, especially younger men, well, they'll park that away in a parking lot. They'll try to find a place where no cars are parking next to it, so nobody bangs the door into it. It doesn't get scratched. They keep it shined up. They keep it polished. They keep the oil changed. They take good care of that car until it gets a little old, gets some miles on it, gets a little rusty. Then they don't take as good a care. Well, it's kind of that way, too, and with the wives. In the beginning, when they're new, you know, and they get the doors for them, they pull their chair out, and they do all those things, and then as the years go by, that kind of wears down. But it should. You see, with marriage, you only have to work at it from the first day to the last. That's all, just the first day to the last. And so many times before, you see, I won't marry people that are unequally yoked and won't do it. I've had people come to me several times where they've been of different faiths. I had come where they wanted, one professes to be a Christian, the other a Muslim. And they want me to marry him. I said, no, I won't do it. You can't do that. You're unequally yoked. It's against what the Bible teaches. And so, and when you're fighting people like that in the situations, you got to, sometimes you can kind of feel them out where you tell them, you know, if one is saved and the other is unsaved, you don't marry them. And of course, you know, we have marriage counseling. I never marry anybody without at least three sessions. Because, see, God takes marriage very, very seriously. And what God takes seriously, we have to take seriously. And, you know, and I make it very clear in that situation that, you know, I can marry two unsaved people together, or I can marry two saved people, but I will not marry someone who's unsaved. And in those cases, you'll know that inevitably, some unsaved people will make a profession of faith just so they can be married, all right? And now what happens is I am obligated. I can't look upon their heart. I can't look upon their heart. So if they tell me they've made a profession of faith that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, I have to take their word for it. It's the same thing when it comes to baptism. Unless I know that person well enough to know that their behavior makes it very clear to me that they're not saved, then that's a different story. But, and many times people will make a false profession just so that they can get married. But God takes marriage very seriously. And today, because of these smartphones have made it, the major reason today for divorce, which is you know, divorce is right up there for every marriage. There seems to be a divorce today, right up there with divorce. And the reason for that is infidelity. Most of the time it's infidelity. And one of the reasons, it used to be back years ago when I was a young man, if there was infidelity, mostly it would have been on the men's part, okay, for the most part. And I'm talking about married people. Today that has turned just around. It's just exactly turned around. Today, because of these smartphones that you have, it's given women this new freedom that they have. And I've seen what's happening. It's, my wife says, she likes to say it this way, they want their cake and eat it too. In other words, they're talking about these women, these young women, they want a husband for security. They want a husband, you know, as for a stable home. But then they want lovers on the side. And in their mindset, because of these smart aleck phones that you have out there today, they're telling them that it's fine. It's okay. Everybody's doing it. It's called an open marriage nowadays. And it usually starts out, and we're seeing all kinds of this. It used to be against the law to send nude pictures of people in the nude. It was against the law. But now one of the things that's happening is these women, these young married women especially, but not just the young ones, even some of the older ones, are sending nude pictures. They're sending nude pictures to complete strangers out there. Sometimes they're using different names, and they're actually giving different addresses and that, but it's them. And inevitably, it used to be a joke some years ago when somebody would say, have you got any nude pictures of your wife? And the guy would say, no. And it used to be, this is a joke. Then they would say, well, you want to buy some? Today it's not a joke because, again, these would be brought, picked up, and that, and eventually the husband finds out about it. He sees these nude pictures of his wife, and he's not happy about that, and ends up in divorce, okay? But you still have the same token. These women, they're not committing adultery with themselves. Many of those women that are committing the adultery are doing it with married men. Mostly it's divorced or unmarried men, but many of them are still married men that are doing and committing this adultery. And so that's the cause of divorce. And remember, God hates divorce. God hates divorce. And the communist, the Antichrist world system knows that they have to break. Going back, I remember listening, I believe it was David Rockefeller talking about how part of that was to break up the family. Part of their plan for the New World Order, the globalist plan, destroy the family unit. Destroy the family unit. Get the children out of the home. And like Hillary Clinton said, it takes a village to raise a child. Parents no longer should be parents. The state should raise the children to be good little communists. And so the whole point is to break up the family. If you have a strong family unit, it's hard for the opposition to penetrate that. So that's a very, very important thing as far as the foundations go. A strong family. You've got to... and again, that means that the children are raised up in the admonition of the Lord. They should be in Christian schools or homeschooled. And so you say, well, how do we overcome divorce? Well, obedience to God does it every time, folks. Now it takes two. You can't just be done with one person. One person can affect a lot. But it's obedience to God. Marriage is about becoming one in the Lord. You become one flesh, okay, in the Lord. And so, again, infidelity is the main reason for divorce. In fact, I just we counseled with a woman, and she was telling me how her youngest son, how she's so upset with him because he's been going around and he's got children by four or five different women. He's got children over here, and some of these women, and this is happening more and more where men find out after several years that they've been raising another man's child. But the family, it's the family unit. Then what's next? Well, the church. It's very, very important that you have a strong church body. That many of you out there listening to me tonight, all you have relatives, family members, siblings, and that are not saved. They're not saved. And as the Lord Jesus said, when they said, your brothers and your mothers here, and to see you. And he said, who's my mother? So, brothers, and who's my mother? But those that abide by my Father's word, by the word of my Father, that are obedient to the word of God, okay? Those. And so your actual real family is your church family. And so it's very important that you're in a church that's one, a Bible-believing, spirit-filled, where the pastor is as bold as a lion, and the Bible is being taught, and the Word of God is being taught without compromise. And so, and it's very, very important that church be bound together. I know in the church that I pastor to, which is the Word Baptist Church, if the opposition comes for one of us, we all show up. And, you know, that's where we're one body in Christ. Now, I want to turn over to Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 7, and I'll get there in 1 second. And in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 27, we read this. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Well, that's how you keep your marriage together, too. It'll work. It works every time if you do that, okay? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things, these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Of course, that rock was the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So that rock that we build our house upon, our faith is built upon, is none other than the Lord himself, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, today, and here's what he's telling you, and this is why over the years I've preached time and time and time again, and you know, for a pastor, it can be kind of frustrating at times when you're preaching and you look out and you can see, you can read people's faces. And sometimes the look on their faces is, well, he's preaching that message again about making your salvation sure. And what happens is, you know, the Word of God is pretty clear. By their fruits, you'll know them. If they're saved, there's going to be evidence of that salvation. And you know, it seems like often, and I don't know, the people that need to hear that message the most, it seems like, are always not in church in the day you preach that message. But, folks, that'll be one of the most horrible, frightening things Okay? And to hear those words that Jesus said, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." And yet we know for a fact that the vast majority of people that have a profession of faith do not have a possession of salvation. What does that mean? Well, he's telling you that the vast majority of people are going to end up in hell, not heaven. But you don't have to be. But it doesn't have to be. God has given them a way out. And this is why every single program, we give you that invitation. 7 days a week, we give an invitation out there. And so, here, I want to go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and it's time for me to wet my whistle. This is the third time today I'm preaching this message. And so here, I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with 5 through 17, starting with verse 5, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Now, he's making a point here that you rejoice in soul winning, but don't boast. Do not boast. It's God who is doing the soul winning through the Holy Spirit that giveth the increase. That's what he's saying here. But God giveth the increase. "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Now, I knew a fellow one time, and boy, he was hard-headed. You couldn't talk to him. He was into what they call body count evangelism. And what he would do is he would come up on somebody, and he would start telling them, ask them if they're saved, and he would pressure them. He would pressure. He would, you know, and if the people say, "Well, not, I don't really want to talk about it right now," or whatever, he would continue to pressure these people. Now, one of his big mistakes that he would make was that he would tell them, "You don't have to change your life. You don't, you know, you don't have to repent. That's not necessary. And you don't have to change the way you live. You can continue. Just say the sinner's prayer. That's all you have to do." And he would badger the people until, just to get rid of them, to pacify them, they would do that. And then he'd mark it down in his book as another soul saved today. And so he would keep this record and let everybody know how many people he saved every day, when in reality he didn't save anybody. God does the saving. That's what we just read here. "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive in his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon that foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, for every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall not, he shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, and you are the temple of God. And so here, if we go and we take a look at verse 11 again, for no other foundation can no man lay, rather than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. No part of a structure should be built without a strong foundation. And we know that, okay? Christ was the creator before he became the savior. I had said that earlier. And the record of his creation in Genesis is the foundation of all revelation. Jesus Christ first as creator, then as redeemer. He's the that's the foundation of any true and lasting Christian life. And so the purifying fires of Christ's judgment seat, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, or chapter 2, I believe it is, 2 Corinthians, yeah, chapter 2. Here, he said he will try the works of what sort they are, not how numerous they are, how great they are, okay? But you, when you're talking about that, the tried, well, here, gold, silver, and precious stones are works that are sacrificial. Like, well, for example, like being a missionary. Being a missionary in some of these foreign countries, you're out there, often you're risking your life. You're reaching people. Sometimes you have to live in very poor conditions to do that. Out there preaching in front of those bloody abortion mills today with the police state weaponized against you, with the Antichrist police state, the Antichrist FBI, the Antichrist Department of Justice is weaponized against Christians today who are out there preaching in front of those bloody abortion mills. Going to the prisons today is much harder than it used to be many years ago. I was preaching up there. We did the death row ministry for 45 years. Over the years, went to numerous, numerous prisons, numerous, numerous jails. Was a chaplain there in a jail for a while. And within the prison system, they become very anti-Christ. Here in Ohio especially, you've seen it. Very, very anti-Christ. And so here, there's other things, too, that are jobs that maybe not to where you have to risk violence so much, but, well, we have a newsletter. My wife works on that newsletter, and she really works hard, works very laborious newsletter. But she does that. That's her ministry, to get that newsletter out to you folks to receive it out there. And she does it faithfully, very faithfully. Those are where you place up crowns of gold, silver, and precious stones. Wood, hay, and stubble, I think, well, here, I would say probably one of the best examples of the wood, hay, and the stubble today would be those prosperity preachers that have made a profession of faith, that have actually got saved, but they're so convinced, they're involved in that Word of Faith movement and that, and they're listening to people like Kenneth Copeland, and where their works are all about telling people about how to make money, how to become rich, how to become, and this is the wood, hay, and the stubble. This is the stuff that's going to burn up. It's that. Or you see the symbolism over substance. Symbolism over substance. I see it all the time, especially from the pulpit, when there's no courage, when there's no courage in that pulpit. All there is wood, hay, and stubble. And then I want to go over to Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll be there in a minute, verses 15 through 22, we read this. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain enmity thereby, he came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. But through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with saints in the household of God, and are built up the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are builded up together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And so now here, what is he talking about? Christ broke down the wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile. Here, again, the Lord Jesus, by doing that, reconciled both unto God in one body. They become one in the Lord by the cross, having slain the enmity between them. And so, remember, all the first converts, the vast majority of the first converts were all Jews. And the mindset were that they were God's chosen, and there was no room for the Gentile in the kingdom. But here, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the cross, they're reconciled together as one in God. And then in verse 18, we read this. It's a very interesting verse. For through him we both have access to one Spirit unto the Father. So now here, that's one of those rare verses in where all three members of the Trinity are mentioned. For through him we both have access to one Spirit in the Father. So here, what is he saying? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all active in both salvation and in prayer. They're all working as one. And then he goes on to say, now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints into the household of God, and we're built upon the foundation of the apostles, and this is what we're going to talk about later on as we get to the end of this program, and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded up together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And so here, he's talking about the foundation was completed with the completion of the Holy Scriptures through the last living apostle. And in fact, Let us go over now to Revelation 22. And in Revelation 22, starting verse 6 through verse 21, we read this. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Now, it's an interesting thing, too, because the word angelus means messenger. And that could have referred to an angelic being, but I don't think so. I think it was a man like one of us. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets. So there you go. He makes it pretty clear to me. And of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Well, we go back to where we started in Daniel 12, verse 4. We see that the beginning, and we've seen this now since the days of Daniel. We've seen piece by piece, incrementally, little by little, daily, the unsealing of the book. We're seeing, we're getting knowledge. And when will that be finally unsealed? Well, he goes on, he that is that'll be at the end. Well, that's going to be the conclusion and the completion of the foundation. And so that's at the very end. Let's go on. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they that have the right to the tree of life, and it may enter through the gates into the city. Well, that's where the born-again believers, that's where God's people are going to dwell. The Christians are going to dwell within the New Jerusalem in this huge, huge, huge city. And here now, with there now, for without, he's saying, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Well, first of all, the dogs are not canines. They're not Rin Tin Tin. It's not Lassie. The dogs is referring to, that's the fifth time that sodomites, what they call homosexuals or sodomites, today it's LGBTQ. LGBTQ are referred to all through the Bible as dogs. Now, folks, if God refers to you as a dog, that's not good, okay? And this is exactly what they keep trying to push down the throats of the people in the public school system. It's one of the reasons I say get your children out of there. The fake news media promotes it. The fake news media, Hollywood, the entire Democratic Communist Party, the entire Democratic Communist Party promotes this sin, which God's word calls an abomination. They try to force it upon the people. For without are dogs, homosexuals, and sorcerers. Well, sorcerers. Let's go over to Big Pharma, folks. Pharmakia. That means sorcery. That's what pharmakia means. That's where you get the word pharmacy. And it's sorcery. It's sorcery, folks. I don't know. You know, it's pretty plain. But the vast majority of people are so biblically illiterate. They're totally, and not only that, but they've been so dumbed down by the fake news media and the public education or indoctrination system, I should say. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. And the spirit that the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Now, note the importance of these words. The conveyance of precise thoughts requires the use of precise words, folks. And that's what you have here. Excuse me. Only the doctrine of verbal inerrancy adequately expresses the true nature of biblical inspiration. This warning, this is a warning at the end of the book of Revelation. In fact, at the end of the Bible, stresses the necessity of literal interpretation. And here, for example, the NIV has removed 64,000. The NIV has removed 64,000 words from the King James Bible. Now, here, for example, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are within the book. And that's not a good thing to have added to you. And if any man should take away, now here's, this is even worse, and this is what they've done. The New Age perversions have taken away the words. If any man should take away, they removed the blood. Many, many times they removed the deity of Christ. And if any man should take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and him things which are written in this book. Now here, the word book here in the Greek is biblion. This is where we get the word Bible. And again, here, John warns, first of all, against adding to prophecies given in the book of Revelations. Broader sense, however, he would warn against adding to the entire Bible, for he was the last of the apostles, and Jesus, in an effort told his apostles that he would send the Holy Spirit to bring all things to their remembrance, to guide them into all truth and reveal them things to come. And so here you have on the completion of God's word, John being the last prophet, when the 76 or the 66 books were completed, then the foundation was completed. And so here he goes, he which testify these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, who are we? Well, if you're out there and you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, you are an ambassador. You're an ambassador. And ambassadors are privy to, you have certain rights and privileges. And so you're as much as an ambassador as for the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? Well, let's go here over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's start here in verse 17 through 21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, now not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, are you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, here, the new creature, the miracle of regeneration, being born again and baptized by the Holy Spirit unto the spiritual body of Christ. Now, God has reconciled sinners to himself by virtue of the sacrifice of his Son. And so here, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are not to be placed under any ordinance of sinful man. Any ordinance of man that's contrary to the teachings or the will of God. We are to be given diplomatic immunity. Well, that's what happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. After the fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar made it very clear, these men here have diplomatic immunity. They're no longer, they can eat what they want, listen to them. They are, God is their God. And these men are ambassadors here. Same thing with Daniel. And so today, that's what we are to be. We are not part. We're just passing through this world. We're in it, but not of it. We're to be in this world, but not of this world. And so, with that, and I think that would be a good case to make in court. Especially as the growing Antichrist, as the system is being weaponized against us more and more, I think that would be something that we really, and in fact, I know that is something that people are starting to look at more. They're finally going back to the teachings of the Word of God. Oh Lord, how many years I've been preaching this stuff, and I don't know. It's just amazing the times when it takes so long for people to try to get it, to understand that the only absolute perfect authority that we have that's totally inerrant is God's Word. And so let's go over it. We're going to finish tonight in Ephesians. Let me see. Ephesians chapter 6. And we start with verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that uttereth may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Therefore, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Well, that has two applications. One, he is an ambassador. He's written this. This is one of the prison epistles. Two, he is in bonds. He's a bond slave to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we should be too. Okay. So here, what is he talking about there when he says here, praying always with all prayer, application of the Spirit? Well, the bottom line, Christ descended into Hades when he preached to those. He's talking about the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the gospel. The mystery was when Christ descended into Hades. He preached to those that perished in the flood, those that were in the prison. He returned to his own body back in Joseph's tomb. He rose again, and the graves were opened, and the bodies of the saints that slept arose out of the graves and ascended with Christ into the third heaven. And I'm going to stop right there. And folks, again, all of this is God's word. And just like we give you every night, we tell you, we give that invitation. And I'm hoping that the people out there listening, you might be driving in your car somewhere, whatever, and you're listening to me, and maybe you're saying, you know, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time. Maybe I need to be sure, because believe me, you really, truly need to be sure of your salvation. That's the one thing, see, because the time will come when nothing else will matter to you, but you're standing. This will happen. There is no chance at all that it won't happen. That will happen. So if I were you out there listening to me tonight, if you have not done it, I would go, I would pray to God the Father. I would ask for forgiveness of the sins. I would ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of my life, all of my life, without any reservations. I would acknowledge the fact that he took my place upon the cross, suffered like no man had ever suffered, and I would ask him to be my Lord. And then, if you do that, now this is what God has said. This is what God has said. You will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and you will be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a reality. I want you to think about that. That's a reality. This is what God has says. And so if you have not done that, don't be like so many. By this very time tomorrow, millions of people that are in the world tonight won't be here. Do you hear me? We live in a world of almost 8 billion people, and every night millions die, and the vast majority of them, you know, are not prepared to die. Don't be one of them. Don't be one of them. You'll be here until the Lord says, tonight, your soul is required of you. How much time do I have left there, Craig?
Got about 1 minute.
And so, anyhow, it's been good. I'm hoping you're all having a great day. Hope you all went to church today. We had a great church service at Doers of the Word Baptist Church. We had a great Bible study. And with all of our different ministries, the Lord has really blessed. And, well, I guess that's about all I have to say tonight. So as we're coming down to the final 30 seconds of the program, as we say this, you know, every night at this time. And it's really, again, when we say that always, 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 folks, we say good night, God bless, and remember always, always, always. And that's when we say keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.